Good morning, from Manchester, England. 37 years ago, I bought this knife. Actually, a set of them. They were steak knives for my girlfriend. An odd present. Romantic? Well, I thought practical. One day we'll be married, and we'll have a set of 12 steak knives. Living in the UK, you don't eat steak very often, so it was a bit of a strange gift. But this was my plan. And we're talking about some tools. We'll be talking about implements in this iFaith message. What happened to this knife? How do we still have it after all these years? A few years after I purchased it, I was doing a wedding at church. And I was in the morning before church, I had my suit jacket on, and the buttonhole was sewn up. So I used this to open the hole. Unfortunately, I slipped. I cut right through my finger, had to have stitches. And for that wedding that I was doing, and I did do the wedding, but I was bandaged, but I was dripping blood on the floor during the whole ceremony. Just my stupidity. Sometimes we do the wrong things with tools. Not so in the case of God. Let's just review briefly what we looked at last time in number 88. Here am I, send Aaron. When we forget the grace shown to us, we cease to care whether God shows grace to others. A sense of cleansing reinforces, it leads to our sense of mission and gives us the stamina we need to keep going. Isaiah was speaking in the 8th century. He warns of doom. Doom is simply a word for judgment. The northern kingdom of Israel didn't have long before it would fall to the Assyrians. Isaiah kept preaching, and eventually the southern kingdom in the 500s would fall to Babylon. At this time, though, Assyria is on the rise, but things are pretty good in Israel. And many of God's people took this as a positive sign, a sign that they must be doing something right. Of course, to say, well, things are going well, someone up there must like me, that's very bad reasoning. Because often things go well, not because you're doing well spiritually. They go well because you made a wise decision 6 years ago, or you made this investment last year, and it's coming to fruition now. So don't look at the signs of the moment. The title of this message is Rod, Club, Axe, Saw. And so let's begin in Isaiah. We're in chapter 10. We're not talking about a knife today. We're going to talk about God's rod and his club and so forth. Woe to the Assyrian, the rod of my anger, in whose hand is the club of my wrath. I send him against a godless nation. I dispatch him against a people who anger me to seize loot and snatch plunder, and to trample them down like mud in the streets. But this is not what he intends. This is not what he has in mind. His purpose is to destroy, to put an end to many nations. What does that mean, woe to the Assyrian? Well, the ultimate punishment that God would bring upon his people was a foreign invader, which would lead to exile of many of the Jews. And this is anticipating the time just after. So the Assyrian, at this point, has destroyed the northern kingdom. The capital city of Samaria has fallen. And so this is after the 720s. But Assyria is a tool, but God's going to use another tool to deal with Assyria. It's actually Babylon, the next kingdom on the world stage. And we see that the rod of my anger is referring to Assyria. God's using Assyria as a tool to discipline his people. And then it says, in the Assyrian's hand is the club of my wrath. So the dreaded Assyrian armies with all their merciless policies and torture, that's going to be let loose on God's people. Notice it said that I send him against a godless nation. Who's the godless nation? It's Israel. It's not the pagan Assyrians, though they're godless too in a way, or maybe they've got many gods. But the people who've broken faith and ceased to live as though God means anything are God's people. Now, Assyria's intention goes way beyond God's intended purposes, because Assyria's purposes are not godly, and that's why God says, I'll deal with you. Can you see that? So God uses one people or one person or one event to affect another event, to affect another event. All of this at the same time, we have free will and we're called to do what's right. Let's go a little bit further. Isaiah 10:10. As my hand seized the kingdoms of the idols, kingdoms whose images excelled those of Jerusalem and Samaria, shall I not deal with Jerusalem and her images as I dealt with Samaria and her idols? When the Lord has finished all his work against Mount Zion and Jerusalem, he will say, I will punish the king of Assyria for the willful pride of his heart and the haughty look in his eyes. For he says, by the strength of my hand I have done this, and by my wisdom, because I have understanding, I have removed the boundaries of nations. I plundered their treasures like a mighty one. I subdued her kings. And these proud royal words drip with arrogance and really confusion about who's really in charge. The Assyrian king is not ultimate. He'll be dealt with by the Babylonian king, who's not ultimate. Ultimately, there's the king of kings. But these people don't realize it. Their theology is defective. They don't understand the true God, and there's only one. They don't understand the majesty. And here we see Assyria hungry for power and control. And he boasts about all the peoples he's conquered. And some of the things he says are actually true, but most of it is not. And God assures his people that Assyria will be punished for its arrogance. And once the Assyrians came, Isaiah's words would have been remembered. And just imagine the prestige and the credibility that he would earn because of this. And then the last passage we'll read, this is in 10, 15, and 16. And again, thinking of the Assyrians, who God is using to punish his people, the God says, does the axe raise itself above the person who swings it? Or the saw boast against the one who uses it? As if a rod were to wield the person who lifts it up, or a club brandish the one who is not wood. Therefore the Lord Almighty, and we read about judgment. See, we have it all backwards. You know, the tail doesn't wag the dog. The dog wags the tail. The axe isn't controlling the one who lifts it up. It's just a tool. It's just a tool. It could be used for good or evil, or in my case, for stupidity and insensitivity. And it's just a tool. See, after God is done with Assyria, Babylon punishes her. God will use Babylon, and then you'll have the Persians, and you'll have the Macedonians, you know, the Greeks. You'll have a divided Rome, and then even with the Roman Empire, God will bring against them the Goths and the Vandals, these different barbarian tribes, and eventually, you know, the Muslims will come. God uses, he's completely able to use individuals and circumstances and nations for his purposes without violating their free will, but he uses them. They're just tools in his hand. The problem is we forget that we're not ultimate, that God is the eternal one. He is the one whose purposes we should honor and believe in. And that's why I called this talk rod, club, axe, and saw. Well, you'll see this kind of theme throughout Isaiah and some of the other prophets, but it's especially clear here as Assyria is warned that, not to get too big for her britches, Assyria is simply a tool. So how do we apply these thoughts? What does it mean for us? Well, one, and I've already mentioned this, don't overinterpret the good times as signs of God's approval. In the same way, if things are going badly, it doesn't mean God's against you. It may be because something bad happened 2 years ago, or you made a bad decision 5 years ago, and now it's affecting you. So don't be careful how you analyze. Step back and look at the big picture. Don't be surprised, secondly, don't be surprised when God uses unrighteous people or powers or catastrophes to work out his purposes. A very touching question came last night in the question time I had here in Manchester. A 7-year-old who's not able to walk was wondering, why did God make me this way? Of course, God didn't directly make anyone with a birth defect. God ultimately is our creator, indirectly, but God doesn't create people with defects. This happens as a result of the system, the biological system. It happens because sometimes cells divide or the genetic material is copied or miscopied. There are errors. That happens in this world. It's a dangerous world. But the real question is not, why did God make me this way? Because I would say he didn't, not at least not directly. But it's, does God still love me? Or how can I bring glory to God? We need to be asking the right questions. And we shouldn't be surprised that in pain, in hardship, difficulty, God will work. It's like the silver lining in the dark cloud. God is there. And things happen. Yes, ultimately, he's in control. But he normally does not intervene. except to give us grace and give us possibilities. Third, humbly realize that we are only tools in God's hand. Maybe you led 10 people to the Lord this year. You're just a tool. Maybe you raised a lot of money and that's helped the needy. You're just a tool. Everything ultimately comes from God. And we mustn't have too big an opinion of ourselves. Romans 12:3, Proverbs, my goodness, 16:18, there's so many passages on this. So we need to be humble. And if we are, we'll give the Lord credit for his work. And then last, do God's will. So don't overinterpret the signs when things are good or bad. Don't be surprised when God uses unrighteous people. God works among all peoples on the earth. Humbly realize our station. We're just tools. So we give God the glory. And last, let's do God's will. This last realization about humility doesn't mean we should just lounge around and wait for the Lord to move. Well, he'll pull our puppet strings and then he'll make us do what he wants to do. No, God gives us the principles. He gives us the plan. He gives us freedom to apply it, to implement it. And he expects us to step out in faith, even if we don't understand how everything will work out. So let's not just lounge around. Let's get busy and let's make a difference in the world. And that's iFaith 89, Rod Club, Axe and Saw. Well, next time will be our final talk from Isaiah, and it's on filthy rags. We'll be talking about rags and dirty clothing and clean clothing and what that means in the Bible. And this is a passage that's misunderstood by, it seems to me, almost everyone who reads it from near the end of the book of Isaiah. So I hope you enjoy number 90. But that's all for today. Thank you for watching, and I pray this will give you some tools to better understand God's Word. Have a fantastic day. Love from Manchester, England.